Spirit Radio Podcasts.
My next guest is an award-winning nature and wildlife cinematographer and presenter. In fact, he's been described as the Irish David Attenborough, given the breadth of his knowledge of all things wild. Now, he's about to embark on a nationwide tour that will give a sort of behind-the-lens insight into his amazing work. It's called Living a Wildlife, and it kicks off tomorrow. That's Wednesday, the 1st of November, at the Mermaid Arts Centre in Bray. On the line now to tell us more, I'm very pleased that we have Colin Stafford-Johnson. Colin, you're very welcome to Spirit.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, well, it's an absolute pleasure. But first of all, Colin, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into wildlife filming.
Well, I guess I'd always been interested in nature as a child. I grew up watching Cabin Teely, not too far from Bray, in the days when Cabin Teely was sort of a village surrounded by fields and streams. I kind of hardly recognise it now. But I spent half my early childhood years messing down in the stream at the bottom of the fields and catching minnows and catching frogs and newts and all that sort of thing. And then when I was about, I guess, 9 years of age, I remember my parents came home one night. There was some great excitement. We knew something was going on. And they'd found a little old cottage down by the Devil's Glen. Mm. And that was just at a time when I was sort of growing out of my home patch. And the Devil's Glen became my playground, which people might know is down in Ashford. And in those days, very, very few people went there, and I spent my time out, you know, climbing trees and building little huts in the forest and making dams and rivers and all that sort of thing. Mm. Pretty sort of idealized childhood, really.
Yeah.
And that's where my sort of, that's where nature really, where I first really got into it.
So it kind of all came from your childhood. Essentially, just out there in the fields, you know, interacting with what was around you.
Exactly. And then after I left school, I'd always had this idea I wanted to go backpacking around the world, and I did that for a few years. I went to see many of these places. I sort of read about, well, back in those days in encyclopedias, because there was no internet. And so went off to places like, you know, New Zealand, Australia, New Guinea and Indonesia. And I got to see some of these amazing places and got a real sense of what the world was like and what the natural world, certainly the natural world in parts of some of the places I went to were very much untouched by man's influence. Mm. And I saw how amazing it was, all really like the Garden of Eden. And so when I got back to Europe again after that, it really got to thinking about how much our world was changing here and how every sort of inch of land in Ireland had been managed by man. And so I became quite passionate about sort of making sure that there was going to be a place in this world for wildlife. Mm. And then I just sort of fell into the filmmaking thing. I did a degree in biology and filmmaking in the UK and got in with a wildlife cameraman. I've been sort of scrounging the living in the industry ever since.
Right, and you never looked back. I mean, you've done some amazing things, and I've just been catching up with a bit of your footage. I mean, you filmed tigers in India. That was one of your one of the things you do that was a bit of a break for you, wasn't it? What was that like?
Yeah, well, it was great. I remember sitting, I was in Bristol living in Bristol, which was just where the BBC Natural History Unit was based, and the phone rang one day, and it was a very sort of well-known producer, and I was new to the industry, and he said to me, well, he was doing a tiger film in India, and I was going, oh, yeah. And he said, would you like to be involved? And I was going, well, yes, I would. But I thought I was going to be carrying someone's bags or something. So I said to him, so what would I be doing? He said, well, you'd be filming it. And so that was a really big break. There was a series on BBC Two that's been running for years called Natural World. And I guess in our sort of industry, that's what you were aiming for. If you could get a natural world, you felt you'd sort of made it.
Yeah.
And they gave me 225 days for my first film in the field. And it was very much go to India, find a tiger and bring us back a story. Mm-hmm. And tigers became my bread and butter then for the next, I suppose, 7 or 8 years. And continue to be. I'm going to go back and see them hopefully before too long.
Oh, that's nice. Well, it's good to have a connection with tigers. Not many people could say that. No, but it's a fascinating story. I mean, Colin, talk to me about wildlife in Ireland. I mean, it's something that I would say people might be very proud of, but not something they maybe have done much thinking about or research into.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that there's sort of growing. It's a funny thing. I mean, people are more aware of sort of the bigger environmental issues and all that sort of thing, but sometimes really not all that connected with the nature that's all around them. And there are, you know, I think sometimes now childhood, nature sort of being externalized from a childhood. It's a bit the kind of childhood I described to you isn't quite so common anymore. People have been given that leeway to go just exploring and all that sort of thing. But we have amazing things. We did a series in Ireland last year called Wild Ireland. And I did 50 programs around Ireland called Living a Wildlife, or Living Their Wildlife. And you know, I met such a passionate group of people around this country, and a lot of people working really hard to sort of save us and to educate people. I think it's fairly externalized from the education system, I think, which is a great pity. Mm. I think natural history will be a great thing to have as a subject for youngsters, because I think you can teach an awful lot. You know, I know teachers have a syllabus to sort of stick to, but you can teach creative writing and all the kind of things, boxes they have to tick through natural history. And kids are just want to sort of soak it up. And we have amazing things in this country, some of the best whale watching in the world. Mm. We have, you know, last summer I remember swimming with basking sharks. And I don't know how many basking sharks there were off the coast of Donegal, but you have dozens and dozens of these great creatures. Mm. There is an awful lot out there. It's just not quite as obvious as it is in other places. Yeah. You have to work a little bit harder to find it.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some wonderful footage of you out in the midst of starlings on the Shannon, I think, you know, these great murmurations of, as they might say, of starlings flying. It's quite remarkable stuff that in Ireland.
Absolutely. And just for a bit of local, I know you're based in Bray, aren't you? And the Crossing the Line films are actually based in Greystones. So they have made some of the most successful nature docs really in the world in the last few years. They've been incredibly successful, and that scene was shot by John Murray, who's not only a producer, cameraman, director, he can do just about everything, but absolutely beautiful scene where we have a certain amount of starlings here, but in winter they're joined by all those birds that sort of are escaping at the frozen north, and they come here to spend the winter. Mm. And I have those swirling masses of tens of thousands of starlings sometimes. I mean, it really genuinely is a good sight as you see anywhere in the world. Mm. Amazing sight.
Yeah. And just say, yes, we are, the studio is based here, but we're broadcasting nationally, in fact, so lots of people listening from around the country. Talk to us about the show, because this is going to be travelling around. It's starting, as it were, in the Mermaid Theatre tomorrow. But what can folks expect from this show that you're putting on?
Well, I suppose some of the stories often behind the shots. So I'll have lots of sort of film clips, you know, clips of tigers and stories from around the world, from Guyana and Sulawesi and various places, and lots of talk about Ireland. I thought I'd sort of split it up. The first half of the night might be more sort of international, and the second half more about Ireland. And sometimes the stories behind the shots are more interesting potentially than the shots themselves. Mm. Because, you know, lots of effort sometimes goes into these things, and of course often the things that go wrong. It won't just be about the successes, there'll be plenty of failures in there too, because sometimes the failures make the best stories.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to be absolutely brilliant. I know the footage is just breathtaking, Colin, so that's very much to look forward to. And where can folks sort of get their tickets to these shows? I mean, where will we send them?
Well, there's joesarsby.com is a website. Well, of course, theatres in your area are supposed to get them directly from the Mermaid. I think my next show is down in Limerick in the Lime Tree.
Yeah.
And then on to Galway.
Yeah.
So there's about 15 venues around the country.
Yeah, you're heading off. You're going to be old Killarney, then up to Ennis, Monaghan. You're in Westport and you're all over the place, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty hectic schedule, actually. It's a little bit scary because most of the time I spend my time just sort of out on my own or with someone who's filming me. So this isn't something I normally do, so it's going to be an interesting experience for me. But what I would hope for is lots of audience interaction. Going to try and keep it hopefully pretty casual, and the more questions I get, the better, because sometimes the questions are the most interesting things, because they can take you off in any direction, in a sort of unprepared direction, which can lead to everything being a little bit more fun, lighter. So hopefully if people come along with a few questions, that would be great.
That would be great. So you're prepared for it to go in any direction. Well, that's fantastic. That's
it's going to be
an exciting show.
There's a basic outline, and then I should really be calling it the Flying by the Seas of My Pants tour as well, because I think that can just make it a bit of fun. And then it's going to mean that every night's going to be a little bit different.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, Colin, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun, and the show is kicking off, as we say, tomorrow. I should just say, while I've got Colin here, we do have a pair of tickets to give away for Colin's Living a Wildlife exhibition at the Mermaid Arts Centre in Bray tomorrow. So I'll tell you how you can text in and get your hands on a pair of tickets and go in for the draw. But Colin, it's an absolute pleasure to have you talking to us this morning, and really looking forward to seeing how the show turns out. Hopefully this won't be the last show you do around Ireland. Hopefully this will be something that goes from strength to strength. I'm sure you'd like to do more after this. Well, maybe you wouldn't. We'll see how it goes by the end of it.
I'll tell you afterwards. I'll give you a ring afterwards. No, I think so. I am actually really looking forward to it. It's quite exciting. It's something quite different for me. And I'm just hoping, you know, if lots of people turn up, hopefully there'll be lots of banter. And I hope it'll be a fun night.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it sounds like it's going to be great fun indeed. Well, Colin Stafford-Johnson, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. If you want to find out more about Colin, go to joesarsby.com. That's J-O-Sarsby, S-A-R-S-B-Y.com. And you can find out more about Colin and the show.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.